I'm going to sing. No, we're not. We're all tired and some of us are jet lagged. We're going to read from God's word once more. We're going to go back to Paul's letter to his Thessalonian friends, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this afternoon, we're going to be reading verses 6 through 10. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 10. Now, remember the context for these verses. Paul's very concerned about his friends in Thessalonica, and there are a number of good reasons why Paul should be concerned for them. First of all, his ministry there had been cut short. He had to get out of town before he had finished doing all the things that he would have desired to do as a missionary and church planter. Not only that, the congregation there is experiencing some trial and difficulty, even from their own countrymen. Their nearest and dearest have turned on them because of their faith in Jesus. And that's something that's distressing for Paul. And then a third layer of concern that Paul has is that there are those who seem to have been saying, well, Paul's just another rascal, another confidence trickster. He came in, he got a following for himself, he kind of fled town under suspicious circumstances. So Paul has a sense that maybe he's being slandered and the people's confidence in Jesus' apostle is being undermined. So Paul's got some real concerns. He sent Timothy to check in on the Thessalonians. And when Paul writes these words, Timothy has just come back. And Timothy has come back from Thessalonica with good news. Things are going well in Thessalonica. And, in verse 6, Paul speaks about the good news. In fact, the word he uses for good news, it's the same word that Paul uses elsewhere for gospel. And you know, gospel means good news. And this is the only place in Paul's letters where he uses this word that's normally used for gospel to describe good news. The news that Timothy brings is that good. But of course, the news that Timothy brings, it's really a part of the outworking of the gospel in the lives of the Thessalonians. Listen to God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For that reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. And that's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give strength both in pulpit and in pew, that we would be able to apprehend your truth. And Father, we recognize that we need your Spirit's help to do that. And so we pray that the Spirit of Jesus would be our helper and our instructor just now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the very best of good news. We don't actually hear what Timothy's report was, but we hear Paul's reaction. And from Paul's reaction, it is clear that the news that Timothy has brought back from Thessalonica is really good news. It's like listening to one half of a telephone conversation. You've seen someone on the telephone, you hear them speak, you see their body language, you don't know what the person on the other end of the line is saying, but you can tell they're getting good news, that what they're hearing is really, really good. What Paul is hearing is really, really good, because Paul is discovering that the Thessalonians are standing fast in their commitment to the Lord Jesus. Their faith remains strong in the face of uncertainty and adversity, and Paul is really thankful for that. And what that teaches us, and it's right on the surface of our text, your faith is an encouragement to your brothers and sisters. Your trust in the Lord Jesus has a ripple effect. It encourages others. It's an example to others. It is a blessing to others. And just a moment ago, we were reminded of what a privilege it is to be a part of a community of God's people, to be a part of the household of faith. And one of the realities of that is that we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We have responsibility to one another, and our trust in the Lord Jesus, how we conduct ourselves in times of trial, is a source of encouragement to our brothers and sisters, if indeed we honor the Lord Jesus in such circumstances. So we want to look at our verses this afternoon, and we discover, I'm just going to break this out in three parcels the way we normally do. Paul has some good news about the Thessalonians' faith, and that's verse 6. In verses 7 and 8, we discover something about the good effects of their faith. And then in verses 9 and 10, Paul says something about the good hopes that he has for their faith. So good news about their faith, good effects of their faith, and good hopes for their faith. And the good news about their faith is really good news. How are the Thessalonians doing? Well, Paul says, Timothy has come to us from you, has brought good news of your faith and love, and reported to us that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. Now, when Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica to inquire after the welfare of the Thessalonians, we might wonder what kinds of diagnostic questions did Timothy ask. You go to see your doctor, and the doctor has questions for you, particularly if you're ailing a bit. The doctor will ask questions to establish some kind of a context for what's going on. You might imagine the kinds of questions that Timothy would ask when he went to the Thessalonians. I wonder what kinds of questions might have asked. How's attendance? Is attendance keeping up? What's the giving like? Have you witnessed professions of faith? Are there baptisms? Are there opportunities for people to use their gifts? Are there new programs getting started? Now, Timothy may have learned about things like that, but the key thing that Timothy learned was that their faith and love was strong, and that carries us really right to the heart of the health of that congregation. Those things, faith and love, those are the important things. John Calvin says in these two words, faith and love, Paul comprehends the true sum of all piety. Okay, so are you a pious person? How's your faith? How's your love? And really, we're getting to the kinds of things we were talking about during our morning service and during the adult Sunday school class as well. Where there is a genuine love for God, where there's a true faith in God, that's going to have a ripple effect on how, on the life and health of the congregation. And when Timothy went to Thessalonica, Timothy discovered that the Thessalonians, whether it was a big congregation or a small congregation, whether it was a financially well-off congregation or a financially struggling congregation, it was a congregation that was marked by faith and love. Now, when Paul writes 1 Thessalonians, he's probably writing from Corinth. And you'll remember the Corinthian congregation. The Corinthian congregation was a congregation where there was an abundance of spiritual giftedness. And the Corinthians were a congregation that was marked by divisions, marked by partisanship. It was a celebrity-dazzled congregation. It was a gift-besotted congregation. And Paul had to say to the Corinthians, faith, hope, and love. These are the things that really count, and the greatest of these is love. The Corinthians, for all of their giftedness, for all of the bustle of activity in that congregation, the Corinthians were stomping all over each other. And Paul was concerned for them. But when Timothy came back with a report from the Thessalonians, the report was that the Thessalonians are a loving congregation. They've got a genuine faith that expresses itself in love. And of course, congregations are made up of individuals. And it begs the question then, how is your faith and how is your love? And Paul, at the end of verse 6, describes what their love looked like. You all, listen to the end of verse 6, you always remember us kindly and long to see us. There's Christian love for you. Christian love remembers the brothers and sisters kindly. It's charitable. You see, Paul had a concern that the Thessalonians were being brought into a place where they were being critical of him, where they were buying into slanders, slanderous accusations, that Paul was another smooth-tongued con man. And Paul discovers that, no, indeed, they have their remembrance of Paul. They think kindly of Paul. They think charitably of him. They're not prone to suspicions. Even in the face of slanderous accusations, they think it's a wonderful thing to be surrounded by people who think kindly of you. Oh, to be sure, they realize that you're a sinner just like them. But they view you with the charitable attitude of the Lord Jesus, the Savior who forgives and have a forgiving attitude. They welcome one another with the kind of welcome with which Jesus has welcomed them. Paul was delighted to discover that the Thessalonians viewed him with that kind of kindly attitude and longed to see him. So, as you think about your network of relationships here at Knox or whichever congregation you might belong to, a good question to ask yourself is, do I think kindly of my brothers and sisters? Do I long to see them? Do I communicate that to them? Have I made clear to them today that I'm really pleased to see them, that I'm glad to be in fellowship with them, that I'm thankful to be a part of that same congregation? So Timothy brings good news of their love. And Timothy also, Paul describes for us the good effects of their faith. Listen to verses 7 and 8. Paul says, "For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord." The good news that Paul, that Timothy brought to Paul about the Thessalonians' faith and love, it was like a tonic to him. Paul was experiencing his own trials. He had his difficulties of his own. And we read 1 and 2 Corinthians and we get some sense of the anguish that Paul was experiencing because of some of the things that were going on there. Paul was experiencing some distress and some difficulty of his own, but in the face of that, the good news of the Thessalonians was like a tonic to him. Who would have imagined that their spiritual welfare would have meant so much to him? But, you know, your spiritual health, your spiritual welfare, the way you deal with difficulties, the way you face trials, that is a blessing. It's a tonic to your brothers and sisters. It's a tonic to their souls to see you stand fast in the Lord. You may feel like you're holding on by your fingernails, your fingertips, but the fact that you have that perseverance encourages your brothers and sisters in their trials to hang on, to persevere, to hang in there, to stand fast. If you are spiritually ailing, spiritually struggling, your brothers and sisters have a concern for you that eats them up. And that kind of concern is the way it should be. We catch something of the deep concern that Paul had when he had no news of the Thessalonians. He was really concerned for them. And now this is good news. And your brothers and sisters who love you, the people who pray for you, who care for you, who mentor you, they're concerned for you. And when they know you're hanging in there, when you show up on the Lord's Day, that blesses their hearts. That encourages them. That's as good as a tonic to them. Listen to Paul speaks about it in such glory. He says, "No, we live if you are standing fast in the Lord." Matthew Henry says, if Timothy had brought bad news, that would have been a killing thing for Paul. But nothing, on the other hand, nothing was more encouraging than their constancy. The fact that they're standing fast, Paul's not having cold water poured on him. No, it's put fresh courage into Paul's heart in his own trials as he sees the Thessalonians standing fast. And Paul says, now we live, now we really live. One translation of the New Testament said, Paul says, now we can breathe again. It's like Paul's been holding his breath, waiting to hear what's going on. It's like there's a sigh of relief. Paul says, now we really live. And you look at Paul's reaction. Here's the reaction of someone who had a genuine concern for them, but who's so encouraged now to know that they're doing all right. And you know, if you were cynical, and there are a lot of people who surround us who really don't understand the kind of bonds that unite us in Jesus. They don't understand what it is to be a part of a caring community. They don't understand what it is to care for one another. And were those people to read those words of Paul's, where Paul says, now I really live, they might say, Paul, get a life. Get a life, Paul. But you know, Paul's saying, the body of Christ, that is my life. I'm knit together with the people of God. This is what it is to be a part of the community of God's people. And Paul fleshes it out a little bit more when he writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, that Christians knit together as the body of Christ, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You see, we bear one another's burdens. We enter into one another's joys. And yes, we grieve one another's sorrows. And as we do that, we're not just reflecting the character of Paul, we're reflecting the Lord Jesus, someone who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, someone who is a sympathetic high priest, because in ways that we can't even fathom, our trials touch him. Our joys are his joys. And this is what it is to be a part of the body of Christ. It's a glorious reality. And we remember John, the aged apostle in 3 John verse 4, saying, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. And we might say, well, get a life, John. But no, John, that's what's important to him, to know that the ones that he has taught, that he has mentored, that he has instructed, that they're walking in the truth. And when you persist and persevere in walking in the truth, that brings joy to the hearts of those who love you, perhaps joy to the hearts of parents, joy to the hearts of pastors and elders, brings encouragement to the hearts of the saints. This is what it is to be a part of a church congregation. Yes, sometimes it's going to hurt, because when our brothers and sisters experience trial, we feel the pain of it. When our brothers and sisters struggle, we're not unmoved. But when our brothers and sisters persevere, when they prayerfully, faithfully hold on to Jesus, that encourages our hearts. And Paul, lastly, in the last couple of verses, Paul speaks about the good hope that he has for their faith. And Paul, what the news that Timothy brings prompts thanksgiving on the part of Paul. Listen to verses 9 and 10. Paul says, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, I want you to notice Paul's really, he's really thankful for them. This is a glorious thing. He is thankful for them, and he gives thanks to God for the example of their faithfulness. They've not broken ranks. They're standing fast, and Paul recognizes that as a work of God's grace, and he gives thanks. So, and again, as you think about what you might pray for, and we're all learning to pray, aren't we? Here's something we can pray for. Do you give thanks for God's good work in the lives of your brothers and sisters? As you see them persevere in trial, do you give thanks for that and pray that God would multiply grace to them? As you see them experience blessing, do you rejoice with them in that and give thanks to the Lord for that? Paul gives thanks for the Thessalonians because they are walking by faith. He's thankful for their faith in trials. Maybe some of them, you can think of our own experience. The encouragement that we get, the example that we draw from those who faithfully and perseveringly endure in sickness, those who persevere in the face of difficulties and discouragements, those who are consistent in their service, even when it's not easy, those who are reliably present, those who are unceasing in prayer, these are all encouragements to our faith, and we should give thanks to the Lord for them. And yet Paul realizes that it's an imperfect faith, because it's a faith. He desires in verse 10 to see them and supply what is lacking. Paul knows that their faith will not be complete until they're in heaven. And Paul, he's able to celebrate the reality of their faith, even though he knows they still have a way to go. And that's what a great perspective that is for us, because that gives to us. Because, you know, sometimes we see the flaws and we see the defects and we see the shortcomings. Paul is confident that God, who began a good work in them, is going to bring that work to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And Paul desires to be Jesus' instrument in advancing their faith and growing them up and bringing them to maturity. In other words, he's not just a spectator to their faith. He desires to be an encourager of them in their faith. He does that by his prayers. He wants to see them face to face in order to. It's the same kind of sentiment that Paul expresses in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, where Paul desires to get together to see the Romans, the Roman Christians, in order that he may supply what is lacking in their faith, that we may be mutually encouraged, says Paul, that we may be mutually encouraged in your faith and mine. You see, what Paul is reflecting there is that where Christians get together with the right kind of attitude, they are a stimulus to one another's faith. They strengthen one another in faith. And the report that Timothy has brought back to Paul from Thessalonica gives us some insight into the ways in which our faith is a blessing and encouragement to our brothers and sisters in the circumstances in which they find themselves. That's the precious privilege you have as members of the household of faith. Take it seriously and pray for God's grace that together we'll grow in that to the glory of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you now for your word, and we pray that your word would be driven into our hearts, that it would make its impression there. And we ask, our Father, that we might be strengthened in faith, and that the strengthening of our faith might be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters and a glory to Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.